We'll continue this week on our part two of our learning the principles of faith. You know, last week we began this, and I want to, you know, we understand that a principle is just a fundamental truth that serves as a foundation for our belief. And that's where we went last week. Starting to build the foundation of our belief. It is a basic ideal or rule that explains or controls how something works or how it happens. So when we want to learn that, you know, faith just don't happen by chance. It don't just happen by, a lot of people just say I was lucky. I don't believe in good luck. I don't believe in bad luck. Right. Amen. So our faith just don't happen. Having faith does not just happen. It is a decision we make that we are going to trust God in every circumstance, no matter what. And so last week we talked about, you know, the first thing I think, you've got to know that one thing, that you are a child of God. You got to know who you are in Christ, because, you know, the world has a way of wanting to bring you down and beat you down.
Yeah.
They have it has a way of making you feel worthless. But if you know who you are in Christ, you know what all God has given you and what you have in Christ, through Christ, then anything that someone wants to say, or no matter what situation or your circumstances that arise, all the trials that you go through, you know who you are, and you'll hold your head up, and your faith in God and trust in Him will get you through everything. Because it said, we talked about last week, that our faith gives us victory over this world. So we want to begin, and we talked about Romans 12:2, that we should not copy the behavior or the customs of this world, but we let God transform us into a new person, and that is changing the way we think. And then when we change the way we think, we can it opens us up to being able to learn God's plan, His will. It is His will, His perfect plan, which is pleasing to Him. So we have to change. In a lot of ways, there's some change that we have to make. If we're going to walk by faith, there's some change in our thinking that we're going to have to make also. In John 8:31-32, Jesus told him, Jesus said to the people who believe in Him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So this is some of the things we talked about last week. You know, it is the truth of God's word that we know, and we learn, we begin to trust, we begin to walk in, we have confidence in, that gives us victory in everything that we have. So I say, if we don't know Him, if we don't trust Him, it's going to be very hard to be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil that brings things against us. So we go into the second part here, learning the principles of faith. We're going to talk about releasing the power of faith. You know, faith is a powerful force.
Yeah, yeah.
Faith moves mountains. Faith, Jesus, He spoke, it calmed seas, it calmed the wind. So Mark 11, let's look at 20 through 25. So Mark chapter 11, 20 and 25. This is a very familiar passage. We've talked about this and read through this before. But it says, "The next morning as they passed by the fig tree He had cursed," talking about Jesus, "the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus said to the tree on the previous day and explained, 'Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and dried.' Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But you, when you pray, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father will forgive you your sin." First thing that Jesus told you, they was amazed at the fig tree.
Yeah.
What Jesus told you, if you think that's something, you can say to this mountain. But He said, have faith in God. But you can say to a mountain, be you lifted up, be you thrown into the sea, and it will happen if you believe and not have any doubt in your heart. Well, I want to tell you, he said two things are, you have to say it and you got to believe it. The third thing I want to mention before we move on, he says, when you pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it. Now, I want you to look at that word, receive. He said, when you pray, you've got to believe that you already have it. Not that you will get it. See, nothing more than the enemy likes to keep you thinking that you're going to get it, but one day. He always wants to keep you looking out there at one day I will have this. One day I'll get this. One day I'm going to receive this. But Jesus said, when you pray, believe you already have it. Believe you already received it. That you already, it is already in your possessions. So he teaches us two things here. If we're going to look at the principles of faith, if we're going to see how it works, Jesus teaches us two things. Number one, you've got to say something. You've got to speak, and you've got to believe that you received it. So speaking it and believing is what Jesus is teaching. And this thing, main thing right here, that no matter if it's a tree or a mountain, no matter if it's some small thing or some large thing, it works the same. There's no different way to work it. You don't have to do something different and judge the circumstance on what you have to do. You just got to speak it, speak against it, speak for it, and believe it to y'all. You have already received what you have asked for when you say it. But one thing he wants to make, and he closes out is, if you got to have any, don't hold no grudges, people. Wow. You cannot have bitterness in your heart. You cannot have some hatred in your heart. You cannot have this issue. That's why I like to settle things out. If I've got something against someone, if they said something that I didn't like, I want to go to that person. I want to get this settled because I don't want it to just stew on that. Let it just keep growing inside me. You know, because what happens? The enemy will start using it and it'll grow and, you know, that just gets all out of proportion. And it hinders your prayer. So it hinders the faith walk that you're wanting to have in your life. So we got to keep forgiveness always at the front of people, because, you know, people are going to always say something about you. People talk. That's the fact. So be quick to forgive. Just let it go. That's one thing I just learned to let it go. Because I look at this, I got higher things that I need to think about. I got more important things to think about. But if something really bothers me, I want to go to that person and talk about it. May have misunderstood. I may have took it the wrong way. Or somebody may have told me something that they told it the wrong way. You understand? Mm-hmm. They may have took it the wrong way. But you got to say and you got to believe that you received it. Romans 10:8. Paul writes, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul right here, he's teaching the same thing. He's saying the same thing that Jesus is. He's saying that the word is in your mouth and in your heart. Jesus said you got to say, you got to believe. Paul says it's in your mouth, it is near you. We don't have to look long and hard to find it. It is in you. It is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. It comes out of your mouth from your heart. Matthew 12:34. Jesus looking at him, he said, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Another translation says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is in your heart, whatever you believe, ever how you feel, is going to come out your mouth. Out of the abundance or out of the heart, that mouth speaks. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I like this translation, says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now that's powerful. You know, what you say and how you, what you speak determines the course of your life.
You're right.
That's why I like to speak, and I encourage you to speak faith things, positive things over yourself, over your situation, over how you just feel. My back hurting, I thank God for strength. I don't know, oh, my back's hurting, killing me. Speak those things that are not as they were.
Yes.
You speak it by faith, you're not denying it. I don't, you know, I'll have aches and pains and hurts like everybody else. But I don't speak that. I refuse it. I've come in here and stood up here and my left heel be hurting. I could not be limping. But I'm not going, I don't speak that. I'm fine now. But I refuse to, I don't deny it, but I'm not going to start acknowledging it. Because I speak health and life. I need strength. I want to live a long time. I got a lot I like to do for God.
Yes.
I got, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be laid up. Well, thank God for health and life and strength.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak." We also believe and therefore speak. So whatever you believe, speak it. Because it's out of what you say sets that course of life. If you talk about how things are always so bad, guess what? Things are always going to be so bad. It's a known fact.
Yeah.
Whether they are, whether or not, don't, you know. Speak what you want to be. That's having faith in God, and speaking faith is when you speak what you want, what you like, what you, the way you want it to be instead of the way it is. If your children is just out of control, speak the way you want them to be.
Yeah.
You hear me? Don't talk bad about them. You know, don't talk about, they just can't do nothing with them. They la, la, la. Speak on how intelligent they are. Speak about how kind they are. Speak how good they act. Amen. Speak well over them. I heard a story a long time ago. Athlete there, he was doing a conference there, and he's talking about how he went outside as a young boy, him and the dad, and they was going to throw the ball, and he reared back and he throwed that ball and it went through a window. He said his dad came up to him and said, "Son, one of these days you're going to be a pitcher. You got an arm like that." You see what I'm saying? They was at a prison, and after he got through, one guy, he came up to him later on. He said, "My dad always told me I wouldn't amount to nothing." You see the difference in speaking? So speak good over them. Speak good over yourself. I don't care if you're just in a rant. Talk about how patient you are. Thank you, God, I have the patience of Job. Don't say, "Hey, you know, I'm just, everything's just happening. I'm just losing my mind." Thank you, God, I have the wisdom that I can determine and help to work through all of this. I may not know it right now, but I thank you, God, that I'm having wisdom that I can handle this. Because wisdom comes from you, and I ask you, and I believe right now that I receive it.
Yes.
You know, some of the things, this goes back to Romans. Some of the things we just learned, this is the habit of the world. This is just the way the world talks. See, we got to change the way we think and change so we can change the way we talk. We got to get out of our old ways of some things as we just grew up in. As we've heard as children, we've heard, you know, our parents or our grandparents or whoever you heard say it. And we pick up on it. And it just becomes, it's in our heart, so it comes out of our mouth. Just naturally. But what we got to do is make it a natural thing to speak God's word instead of speaking what the world would speak.
Yeah.
Turn that around. I explained it this way. As an operator and everything, I perfected, worked hard. I could be running a piece of equipment, my mind be off, and I'd just keep going because it's just a natural. I didn't have to think which lever to pull and which to do this or which to do, you know, what makes this do this. Sit there and work that thing all day long and my mind, you know, not having to focus on exactly what I'm doing all the time. My mind would drift. It's just natural. So speaking God's word to you just come natural to you. It's whatever you do that you've got good at that sometimes, you know, you can, your mind kind of, as you're doing it, your mind kind of drifts off in another thought, in another, going a different direction. Romans 4:17. Talking about Abraham says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So calling things which that do not exist as though they do is nothing new. God, that's what God does.
Yeah.
He called light out of the darkness. Light didn't exist, but he said, let there be light, and it happened. Every creation was created by God speaking it and believing it.
Yes.
But calling those things which did not exist as though they did. But here's what I want to go through. I want to talk about some hindrances that will keep you from allowing and from releasing the power of faith in your life. Number one is lack of God, of knowledge of God's word. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So first thing he said is mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You know, you may have some strongholds in your life that you don't really realize it did. You know, anger can be a stronghold.
Yeah.
Being jealous can be a stronghold.
Yeah.
Holding unforgiveness in your heart can be a stronghold. You know, some people, they just don't want to forgive you.
Right.
Or they don't want to forgive someone because they've either hurt them real bad or they just don't forgive easily. So you need to think, what are some strongholds that is in your life that you might have? And it comes from lack of knowledge of God's word. Because God instructs you on how to be and how to respond and how to live, how to be happy, how to have peace, how to have joy. But if you do not know that, you're going to let these strongholds that keeps you from walking in that, it will keep you out of it. It says casting down. That word casting, it says you have some casting down arguments. Another thing says imagination. You know what word casting, if you ever washed it, you know, back there they used a dishpan to wash dishes in. didn't have, dishwashers. So this word casting comes from that, where you would take and wash dishes in a dish pan, and people, they would take it outside and go off toward the back door on the back porch, and they just didn't pour it out on the ground. They would, we'd just throw it with force. That's what casting is, to throw out with force. So all these things that's in your life, that you need to throw it out with force. And anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought to captivity of Jesus Christ, to the obedience of Christ. So we got to learn how to have the knowledge of God's word, that when something comes, we recognize it right off the bat. That goes against God's word. Cast it down. Throw it out. Get rid of it quickly. And bring another thought in that is in obedience to Christ. The second thing, holding on to old things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, when I hear people say, well, that's just the way I am. I've been like that all my life. That's just what I do. I can tell right there they got some old things that they haven't got rid of, which could be a stronghold in their life. And sometimes they just don't want to. I mean, some people, they like the way they are. They rely on it for some reason. They just think, for whatever, for some strength or for some security. But we got to get rid of the old things, because if all things are become new, if you're not new, if you're not working on continuously, I'm not saying it's all going to happen all at once. Sometimes I had to work on some things for a long time. A lot of things just fell off of me. But there's some things I had to continually work on and use the Word of God to help me get through it and overcome it, because our weapons or our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, not in self. See? If you're going to get rid of some of these things that seems to have a stronghold, that seems to be some old ways, old things that keeps hanging on, you have trouble getting rid of, overcoming, then you've got to have the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way to overpower them. Number three, if you are easily moved away from hope, Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. I mean, let's stop. You were alienated and enemies in your mind. It don't say, you yourself was enemy, but in your mind you were enemies by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Now that's some good news right there. You who was once in me, who was once enemy by wicked works from my mind, what I did, now he is presenting me holy, blameless, and above reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you, by faith you are grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, we got to be grounded, steadfast in our faith. So not easily moved. Don't be easily moved by anything that comes down the pike. Some people, they just fall to pieces. They just fall to pieces over every little thing that seems, what seems nothing to me. They just seem to go off the deep end. So we got to learn how to not be easily moved by things. That is one of the things that I am glad. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on God's word, because all this I'm telling you I went through. I can tell you by witness that it works.
Yeah.
One way or the other, it's going to work. Work for your good or work against you. Which way do you want it? See, when I came to Christ, I had a lot of issues. I was at the point that I didn't like me. I didn't like myself. I didn't like the way I was. There's a lot of things I didn't like about me. So now I can say that I'm not easily moved because I was fly off. But I'm not easily moved. I still get angry. I still get frustrated. But I'm not easily moved away from my hope, from my faith. I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready just to give up. You know, because something happens, this is does not go my way and not, you know, seem to me for my benefit. And it lasts longer than I want it to. That's where being grounded and steadfast comes in. Sometimes things happen and goes on a lot longer than what we want. The enemy's wanting to wear you down. He's wanting, because his plan is to get you ungrounded. He's wanting to you be not so steadfast in it. But I refuse to go back that direction. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, faith gives hope strength. And faith gives hope assurance. Without faith, hope has no assurance and strength to keep you grounded and steadfast. You will easily be moved. Well, let faith and hope work together. Let faith give your hope the strength, this assurance, the confidence that it need to keep you going. See, faith is right now. Hope is in the future. See, I've got to keep faith, got to keep my hope strong till I get to the place where I catch up with my hope.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Faith is right now. Faith is giving my hope its strength that it needs to get me there. Number four, no effective prayer life. We talked about this in James 5:16-18. He said, to confess your trespasses one to another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a natural with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous, you know, your prayer has power.
Yeah.
Jesus said, what? When you pray, after he said, if you speak to the mountain, he says, and when you pray, believe. Don't think that you are not in a good relationship or not good enough to have an effective prayer life. He said Elijah was just he was a human. He was a man just like we were. Elijah had his ups and downs too. But his prayer was, he had an effective prayer life. And so do we, if we would just realize that and not let the enemy wants to think of, that you're just not in a good enough relationship with God for him to hear you. That is another one. He makes you to feel like that your relationship with God is not where it needs to be for God to listen to you. In Mark 11:24, we go back to that. Jesus said, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will happen. Look, none of us are perfect. None of us have achieved so much that we do not need Christ as our Savior. Amen. We've not done. All the reason we can go to God is what Christ has done for us. He's the one that reconciled us to God to start with.
Right.
So don't let the enemy try to tell you you're not good enough. I say, yeah, I thank you for reminding me that I'm not good enough, and so I can keep my eyes on Christ, who is good enough. Learn how to come back and to fight those thoughts you have by the Word.
Yeah.
Remind yourself sometimes who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you. When you start thinking about what Jesus has done for you, and then that whatever is bothering you, it will turn to praise to Him, because you start giving Him thanks. You'll start realizing who you are in Him.
Yeah.
And what all He has done for you. So that's going to lead you into a attitude and a heart full of thankfulness toward Him. But then number five is trusting in your own understanding. Now here's you one. The things that will keep you from releasing the power of faith in your life is start to trust in your own understanding. That's why I like Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, because our understanding is always carnal, it's natural. His understanding is always spiritual and supernatural. Goes back to 2 Corinthians 10:5 of bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every time we have a situation and we're going to have this battle between the Word of God and our own understanding, what we went through, what we think about it, how we dealt with it before, instead of going by what God's Word says. Number six is lack of obedience to God. When God came to Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, that's where Satan came, the serpent, talking with Eve, and talked her into them taking of the tree of knowledge to know good and evil. And then God came walking into the garden in the cool of the evening, calling for him, and Adam called out. He said, we hid from you because we were naked and we were afraid. Well, they were... This lack of obedience to God will turn you to run from God. Uh-huh. It'll want you afraid. It'll want you to hide. It'll want you to quit coming. Quit. Give up. And the enemy used that lack of obedience to remind you your lack of obedience. But let me tell you, all in this, God said, I commanded you. He's speaking to Adam. He said, did you eat of the tree? I'm kind of paraphrasing. That I told you not to eat from. That I command you not to eat. See, Adam had the authority to cast that serpent out of the garden. He had been given dominion. You know what God told him? You have dominion. He had the authority, but he heeded the voice of his wife. He heeded against God's word, and it cost him. Mm-hmm. See, when you go against God's word, it's going to cost you. When you go against God's word, you know God's word says this, but don't go and trust that right now. You can't trust that right now. This is important. I got to do it this way so I know this will work. You're going to be in obedience against God's word. So lack of obedience, if we're not careful, that takes us down this road. It keeps leading us. We start leaning to our own understanding, which leads on to being disobedient to God. Well, let me sum this up on Edison. As I put all this together, these six things I give you, and then I started thinking how it ties together. So it's like this. It's this lack of knowledge of God makes you hold on to old things, being easily moved away from your hope, having no effective prayer life, and trusting in your own understanding, resulting in a lack of obedience to God. So if you continue to not have knowledge of God's Word, if you continue not to spend time in the Word of God and don't gain knowledge of God's Word, if you continue to hold on to the old things, if you continue to keep on the things that we just went over, you can expect that result. But there is good news. What if you stay into God's Word and now you have knowledge of God's Word? What if all those old things that is not passed away, now you've got into the Word of God and through the help of God and the power of the Word and walking in it, you have gotten rid of those and you've took down some of those strongholds that has been in your life all you can remember. And more you've tried hard to get rid of them, you just seem to not be able to do it. But now, because you have knowledge of God's Word, and now you know what's pleasing to Him and what He has a good purpose for you, He has a good plan for you, you've gotten rid of all those, or the biggest part of them, or at least got them under control. And now you no longer are leaning to your own understanding, and you're no longer walking in disobedience to God. What if you turn all that around to the positive side of that? Let me give you this. Now, you having knowledge of God's Word, you have become a new creation in Christ. By letting go of all the old things in your life, you are no longer easily moved from your hope because you are grounded and steadfast in your faith with an effective prayer life. No longer trusting in your own understanding, but walking in obedience of God. You see what I'm saying? Which way do you want to go with this? So having faith is a decision we have to make. And if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is trusting God. Trusting in His Word that I don't care what I see, I don't care how I feel, I don't care what it looks like and all around me, I don't care what people's telling me. I'm going to stay with the Word of God because I know it is true. The truth will set you free.
Yes,
so we begin this year, and I want to start off this year, I want to begin that our faith grow. I want us to get to the point, and I want to be at the point where God can use me. He can not use me if I'm not if I don't know what His purpose is, if I don't know what His will is, if I don't know what pleasing is to Him is, if I'm walking in disobedience and I don't trust Him. Let me say, if I don't trust Him, why should He trust me? How can He trust me to do things for Him? You know, are you going to ask someone to do something for you that's important that you don't trust to start with? Or, you know, they don't trust you? I want God to trust me. So therefore, I'm going to trust Him. Now, if He ever fails me, I might not trust Him so much. But I'm not concerned about that. And I hope He's not concerned about trusting me. See, a long time ago when I read Hebrews 11:6, it said, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Without faith it is impossible. I thought, when I read that without faith it is impossible to please God, I thought, I'm going to have faith. Yeah. And I began to dig in and see what faith is all about. And faith is nothing more than trusting God, taking Him at His Word. Okay. Make a decision to trust God. God bless you.